and welcome to episode 23 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I'm joined tonight by my co-host, a man who's said to be the long-lost brother of TV comedian and host of Family Fortunes, Les Dennis. And when asked if he was, he replied with the simple answer, "It's not really, no! It's Russ from Scotland Surrey." Russ, how are you tonight, sir?
Oh my God, you have lost it. And
I told you wouldn't have a comeback.
I actually have a comeback here and I just can't be asked doing it now.
Fair enough. We spoke offline last week right before we started recording and we were in a bit of an uproar because we were doing things, just silly impressions, hence why I think Russ went on with his Julio Giorgio last week. But yeah, we were speaking. We used to occasionally, when we were on the headset playing Call of Duty or FIFA or whatever, the random Mavis Riley of Coronation Street impression would come out. And it was something that we did just to purely amuse ourselves. So yeah, when we were doing that last week, that's how at the end of the episode I asked you what your favourite game show hosts were. So I will pose the question again, Russ. Favourite game show hosts?
Oh, Mr. Les Dennis, and to be honest, he just pips Michael Barrymore, doesn't he?
Barrymore was excellent, and was it Strike It Lucky or Strike It Rich? I think it had both names, didn't it?
Yeah, Strike It Lucky.
When he used to just ridicule old men and old women constantly, when he would just make fun of them as they were winning prizes like parachute jumps and stuff. But yeah, I was always a fan of Monkhouse. I think we spoke about that offline last week.
Yeah, he did about 20 years.
Bob's Full House and stuff like that, and... And another one I know that you'll be a fan of, Russ. Was it Lenny? No, it wasn't Lenny Henry. It was Henry Kelly who did Going for Gold.
Going for Gold was one of my favourites.
That was always, if you had a sick day from school, that was bang, right? Get that on, Gran. We're watching that. So yeah, that was an old favourite with all the different countries. I was never sure if they actually were from the countries or they just put on accents and, you know, you had to just go with it.
Well, to be fair, I think there could be many really poor impressions come at the very start of these podcasts over the next few months, just before we get into the deep and the dark and dirty world of Surrey. But yeah, all good fun.
Yeah.
I was expecting so much. I was expecting so many references to Nine. I just thought, you know what? I thought you would just go with it.
No, I was saving that for when we have our little chat about the Scottish football, because to be honest, we've said from, you know, we talked about it early doors about the Dundee team's rivalries and things like that. And yeah, I had an absolute delight on Sunday. I watched the first half before I was going up to my aunt's and in the second half, and I listened to it in the car and I actually thought it was porn for the visually impaired because there was at least 11 men getting pumped. And I thought, well, that's, you know, I didn't think the BBC put porn on the radio on a Sunday afternoon, but apparently they did. And yeah, that was quite something. But obviously, there's been a fair bit of fallout from that. So will we save that for a little bit later?
We will save it for later. And I believe there could be an important call comes in later on in the pod.
Oh dear. This is going to be another impression, but we'll go with that.
Go for it.
So yeah, let's look at game weeks, Russ. Last week, we both had a little bit of reconstruction still kind of ongoing. And obviously, it was the first week of the new Matrix. So I was quite interested to see how that was going to work out. And I hit the higher ETH. I squeezed through it, though, because a man who's guided me to, you know, cards this season, plenty of ETH this season, the Tin Man, he was sent off and scored, I believe, 5.4 points, which was a wee bit of a disaster. But the rest of the boys pulled it out. Zeynep Dinov, Captain Dumb, and I got 80-odd points back off of him. And, yeah, so Sahin Radlinger still got us about 40-odd points and things. So I was happy with that one. I did have a couple of goalkeepers. I had Menzel, who only got, I think, 4 points. It was a 3-3 draw. So you are seeing big impacts on that, I think. I think that would be fair to say. But I also think, conversely, you're seeing the impact, you know, of it for the fullbacks. I think some of the fullbacks definitely benefited from it. Defensive midfielders, I would say, I noticed a wee bit of benefit from some of my midfield cards that were more the defensive midfielders. Some slight score increases on those, but all in all, yeah, that's what I hit. I dropped out of the specialist card places by 1 point in the end, which wasn't great, but it is what it is. So I know that you had a late card win and some ETH there as well, Russ.
Yeah, just again, just sort of looking at the game week, it wasn't looking too clever, to be absolutely honest. I had a few guys that didn't play again. I had Cavallini, Lucas Cavallini, who I've absolutely championed in Marea America team. And Marea America team did quite well, apart from him. Dave Romney, big dangerous Dave at Nashville, has been the captain. And I know a lot of the guys that listen actually use Dave Romney as well. He's still under like 50 quid and he scores like 70 points every week, pretty much. But yeah, the rare America team was going along fine. Cavallini went and got sent off. Thought, oh God, so that blew that team out of the water. I've been building, as you know, an all-star pro team, and I really banked on Aziz Behic at United, basically coming and playing instead of McMahon. He didn't, and I got a stonking 101 from Olivier Mbezio at Philadelphia, who's playing right back there just now, and Tony Vilhena, who's now playing in Italy, scored me 106, and that was the start of my week, and I got a couple of 50-point just randomers, and then obviously I was waiting on Behic playing and starting, and he didn't, which was a wee bit of a disappointment. However, where I did get success was my Challenger Europe as opposed to my Champion Europe. My Champion Europe was blown out of the water because Rami Bensebiani, my split new signing, all excited about him this week, waited and saved up ETH and obviously got him this week, and he pulled a sickie on Saturday morning. Yeah. So it was like, great. The rest of the team all performed sort of relatively well, might have got a Tier 3, but it was Challenger Europe. And the team of Igor Akinfeev in the goal, who I still vow is one of the best goalkeepers in the game for value based on price and what he delivers as score. Kaner Erkin over in Turkey, who is playing obviously left back, and he is on pretty much all the free kicks and all the sort of set pieces there, and he scored a whopping 93 for me. Michael Frey, ever reliable up front, rocked in just under 70, and my new signing, Nick Batsner, who plays in the Jupiler for, I think it's Ustendi, off the top of my head. So those guys rocked up, and they were sitting about 300 points, and I wasn't in the cards, and I was like, right, okay, well, that's just to be expected now. The game's changed a wee bit. We all know that. The Matrix obviously been new. I really, like you, didn't know what to expect. And then my Turkish League midfielder was last to play on Monday night, and he scored 85 points, which got me into the Tier 3. So Julie won a chap called, I think his name was it Lauro Duarte for Groningen. Yeah, he actually scored at the weekend, and that helped basically, I think, pump up his price. I won him as a prize, and he already has sold.
Yeah, I as usual, I had an Aussie, and when I seen it, I clicked on and I seen obviously his last couple of scores were quite good, and I was like, well, that's one of those where you've actually benefited from putting it in 4 weeks ago, because he probably would have been more likely into the bottom end of the tier twos, given his price. So yeah, no, that was pretty solid. I mean, my top performers, Russ, one that I've been waiting to come good was Ross McCrory. He was sitting on 100 and it came down to 97.2, but that was a healthy score. That was a 37.2 all around score, which was pretty good. He was very dominant. It was a 5-0 win for Aberdeen, to be fair, but it looks as though he's back into midfield and he's back where he belongs. They were singing his praises, as they did the previous week when he only scored 33 points or so on the radio. They were singing his praises as, you know, being the heart of the midfield, but a lot of the times he's not making the assist, he's making the assist for the assist or what have you. So it's not something that flags up in the stats as such, but he did get on the score sheet. Adis Jazic, he was back on form, 87.8. Anto Grigic back on form as well, 75.5. Zeynep Dinov, as I mentioned. But then also Derek Conn, who I've now picked up as a rare. And he's from Hanover, and he picked up 65.5. Kevin Van Veen, 4 out of 5 for his goal tally for the season. So it was quite good. You know, it was one of those where there was a lot of decisives that I did get. It just wasn't all together. So again, learning experience, sell what I need to sell, bring in what I need to bring in. I have a lot less SPFL players in my gallery at the moment, Russ, because I have tried to move a little bit more into, you know, the second division cards, as would, you know, I've been posting up on Twitter saying that, you know, we discussed it at length last week about the benefits and the cons and what have you, but I'm a threshold player when it comes to the rare players. So the more pool of players that I've got to choose from for less money to still win 40 quid a week is a bonus for me, as far as I'm concerned. So I, again, higher threshold. Again, I think that's about 240 quid's worth of threshold since Europe's come back. You can't complain about that, really, you know, that as a return. I noticed just as we came on, they've dropped more of the second Bundesliga, which I'm over the moon about because that's more scouting I could go and do. And the only downer is I've got zero ETH. So, have you got any new signings that you've brought in then, Russ?
Yeah, basically working on the gallery reconstruction. It's been ongoing for 4 or 5 weeks now, as most of the listeners know. However, one of the things I did look at, and I missed Ben Sabiani's sick note or sick line on Saturday. And obviously that's another issue where I'm missing out on a card by one player again. You know, I'm getting 4 out of 5 guys that are performing in, you know, maybe 3 of my teams every single week. And what I thought about over the weekend was how many teams I'm actually having to keep an eye on and check.
Yeah.
And I know we've spoke about this at length, that we're trying to create content and we're also trying to, you know, do other side projects, etc. And also, I'm, you know, coaching, you know, the kids on a Thursday and a Saturday, and then we've got a game with the young guys on a Sunday. And I'm just finding that I'm a wee bit stretched for time, and I would actually like to be spending more time on Surrey, as crazy as that sounds, but I actually would, because it's a profitable venture for me. When I'm spending time on it, I'm either trading or I'm buying players. And I would say 75% of the time minimum, I'm making money on players, which I think most guys do. It's just, you know, layer cakes material stuff there. And I was looking at it and thinking, right, you know, there's a few things I've been wanting to do. I've been wanting to build a Real Betis stack for their midweek European utility. And I've been watching all the Betis games this season on Premier Sports. And I've actually thoroughly enjoyed the Spanish coverage. It's just game after game on a Saturday and a Sunday. I think they put 3 games on a Saturday, 3 games on a Sunday. And to be honest, although I pay for the subscription, I think it's like, I don't know, 15 quid a month or something, I actually find it really sort of valuable, and I enjoy it. And I enjoy the fact that I've got the players in my gallery. Now, the best players in the main, the best ones certainly aren't cheap. You're talking Canales, Fekir, who's unaffordable for me, Wanmi and Borja Iglesias. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I quite fancy having 3 of them in my champion team.
Yeah.
So I've been building towards that. And I also thought, just at the weekend, I was like, do you know what? Maybe I should look at some of the other teams, because I really do have a bit of mismatch of good players. Most of the players in my gallery, I actually genuinely believe, are pretty decent, and they're, you know, they perform better more often than not. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to have a look at this. So what I did was I actually broke down the teams that are in contention for the MLS playoffs, and I built basically hypothetical stacks for each of them, where there was like 4 or 5 players. We can maybe touch on it later on, maybe just go into just a couple of examples from that. But ultimately, what I've decided is I am in the process of a Real Betis stack. I've got an LDU Kyoto, I think you pronounce it, from Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a stack for there. I've got a Philadelphia stack, who are obviously riding very well in the MLS. And I've had Carranza and Imbezio for quite some time, and they're both really, you know, they're really consistent performers. Carranza obviously now coming in, I think, round about the 0.35 mark, so his price has shot up again. But Oliver, you can certainly get him for maybe about 0.08, which is, you know, he scored 99 at the weekend, and that was his third score over 75 as a fullback. So, yeah, just thought, all right, I'm going to build a few stacks. So I'm in the process of building 5 at the moment, which anybody that visits my gallery, you'll see there's no secret there. But I'm actually thinking to myself, I'm actually finding it quite... I'm looking at it 2 ways. One, obviously, I don't want to be one of these guys that's got the Ajax stack, the Celtic stack, the PSV stack, because that's just money. So I'm trying to do an alternative where I'm not spending the money, but I am building a stack that hopefully occasionally outperforms those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my challenge to myself, is to find the best of the rest, but not pay in. Like, oh, I've built a stack. How much did you spend? 3 ETH. Well, great. MD could do that if you've got the cash. My challenge here is trying to build stacks for about maybe an all-in, maybe about 0.5, 0.6, which, what's that, about 750, 800 quid maybe?
Somewhere in that region just now, yeah.
And how many guys do we know that are all playing with that sort of 500 to 1500 pounds all-in budget? So that's doable. And my aim here and my thought process around it, and this might make sense to some listeners or it might not, but at the moment I've won a card or more every single week in the month of August. However, I've been rolling out, in my eyes, 6 or 7 teams that I think should be winning a card, and I'm getting 1 or 2 cards. My thought process around this now is that I'm hoping to win more cards, but a bit more sporadically. So I understand if Philadelphia get beat and I've rolled out 4 of their players, I ain't winning shit. Do you know what I mean? I get that. But Philadelphia have been winning most of their games, and I'm looking, thinking the week that they do play well, then between, you know, the 3 or 4 players I've got, I'm looking, thinking, I wonder if, and it's a bit of an experiment, I can get up nearer the tier ones. So all experimental, Chris, that's what I'm doing at the moment. What about you?
Well, just to give, you know, I was surprised when you said you were going for stacks, but I can understand where you're coming from just in terms of the time that it takes to go and research all your players on a weekly to keep on top of them is quite high, which is why for the longest time I'd stuck around, you know, just the SPFL in Austria this season, because with having, you know, newborn and all this jazz, it's been quite tricky to keep on top of it all. But I've been quite fortunate in the fact that I haven't had a whole lot of DNPs and things like that. I have kind of just stayed, you know, keeping my head above water as such. But yeah, so what I've actually been doing, Russ, and I think, well, again, we've spoke about it offline and I've been posting about it on Twitter. I've been a big fan of these lower leagues coming into it. And I know everybody's not. There's people who just relentlessly fucking whinge about their gallery value going down and such like. And what I've found is, you know, the good players are holding their value. The shit players are losing their value. And if you're holding players that are losing their value, it may well be a case that, are you holding the right cards in the first place? Do you know? But when it comes to looking at for the threshold, Russ, we've both said it on the podcast. I think I said it right back in either episode 1 or 2. I see the Global All-Star Rare as a challenge against yourself. You pick 5 players that are going to get you 205 points or 250 points. So that's the way I look at it. So what everybody else's teams are completely immaterial to me. If this means I'm getting some cards cheaper that are then allowing me to get a threshold payment which is pegged at $25 and $50, so I'm getting 40, 42 quid a week off of these players at the moment, then happy days. I was able to spend my threshold reward yesterday on one card, and it's a defender who has, you know, some pretty solid scores. He's averaging 49. I sent over to you earlier on, Russ, Dario Dumic. Was at FC 20, he's now at Sandhausen in Germany. And he said, you know, he's hit and miss, 28, 26, but he's also the 70, a 60, and a 59. So he's, you know, he can perform some good scores there. But I was able to buy that with just the threshold win. Do you know what I mean? So that's where I've been looking at. I've been trying to find some of these bargains. I've got a couple of filters set up on Surveyor Data now that I've figured out how to save them and keep them there. So now I don't have to go and continually type in the same thing over and over again. I can actually just click on the filter and bring it all up. I didn't know how to do that, but becoming less of a dinosaur these days in computer terms and going back into looking at these type things. So at a click of a button, I can go and look and write, what's the cheapest, what's the best player under 0.04 in the second tiers? And now we could just bring them up in one go. As we came on, we've started recording this afternoon. It's my birthday today, and I've got family coming around and stuff. So we're recording early, just as we were waiting to record. Surreyor dropped the news that they're releasing the second Bundesliga, which seemed pretty obvious when you look at, you know, obviously what was it, about 7 or 8 months ago when they launched the Bundesliga, Russ? And yeah, there was the whole hype, as we mentioned last week, around, you know, the second, you know, it was all over that the second Bundesliga was part of the deal, but the cards weren't. And they did say at the time, you know, they're not at the moment. Well, they are now, and they've started to release the teams. So I was a wee bit at the first. I was like, oh shit, what about the boys I've got? I'm going to lose the 5% off them and things like that. But actually, I've only got one out of my cards that actually are losing the 5%. The other two have just transferred only a few weeks ago, so they don't appear to be in the release at the moment. So I'm hoping that I get to hold on to my 5% bonuses on those cards. But it is quite good. It's more clubs to go and research and, you know, players to look at and find that pool to, you know, to actually gather your cards from. So, I mean, I had mixed fortunes last night in the second division in France, Russ. I had Abdouli Sanyang from Grenoble. He left midfield, left wing, but he's a forward card. He scored early doors and he was sitting, I think he scored about 87 points in total. And I was pleased with that. And my new defensive signing, Alpha Sissoko, I picked him up and I was like, right, okay, great name, Alpha male. I've got all these cliches to go and throw up on Twitter when he has a good game. Well, he got sent off and scored 11. So it was mixed fortunes. So I've had to go get another defender because he was my defender I was bringing in for the weekend and he's went and fucked us. So I've got a replacement in and that was Dumic. So it's a lot more players. You know, it's like when Scotland came out, Russ, you know, there were so many cards there that we could go and have a look at and pick up, you know, players that nobody else had really heard of, you know, like unless you're a St Mirren fan or in the local geography, you might not have heard of some of the players. Yeah. So we were able to use that local knowledge, but now with a whole raft of, quite frankly, I had a look at the attendances for some of these teams in the second tier in the Bundesliga. I think Hamburg's attendances for the season so far are almost the entirety of the Austrian leagues. So, you know, when people are saying about, oh, it's the second tiers and it's, you know, blah, 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 it's, there's some monster teams in there. So I'm happy with it. And I know why people aren't happy, but, you know, it's adapt or die. If you don't like it, do what everybody else is going on about doing and leave the platform and then come back in 3 days' time when you realize your mistake. And that'll probably be what will happen. But I just think it's something else for people to moan about, Rusty. To be honest, I've got bored of it. I've hit the mute button on so many people this week, and I'll continue to do so because I just can't be bothered with the negativity around it. You know, I get where people are coming from, but it's meh.
I think one of the things that I hadn't actually thought of myself when I seen the change, obviously with the sort of the second tiers, let's call them. Obviously, one of the interesting things, obviously beforehand, the EFL Championship was a challenger.
Yes.
So obviously these cards were all challenger, and the amount of guys that you know that have got either is it Kosminski at Blackburn, or they've signed the guy that's that joined Watford. His name escapes me for a second, but you know there was a couple of keepers in there.
Okoye.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I think there's three or four keepers, and obviously these guys have all now lost their challenger eligibility, which is quite interesting. Probably maybe you know. If guys are running with one or two keepers, just they'll probably be using them in global as opposed to anything else. But certainly, if you were running a full challenger team and all of a sudden you've lost your keeper, then there will be some people out there that are having to do a wee bit of reconstruction because the goalkeeper's no longer eligible. So I suppose if it's something like that, then I can see a little bit of a, oh, would have been nice to get a bit of notice, maybe a bit more notice moan on that if that's like your main keeper for your challenger team. But in the main, I just think it's a good opportunity to learn more about the, maybe not so much the game, but learn more about the players, learn more about football in general. Surely if you're playing this game in the first place, you've either used at some point some MLS cards that you've never heard of, or some, you know, you've stumbled into the J-League and you've discovered three or four players and you're looking and you're going, oh, Wanma, he used to be at Hearts, you know, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Or Dangerous Dave Boulthouse that plays in the K-League and things like that. You're looking going, God, my, you know, he doesn't sound Korean, you know.
Yeah.
All these guys are all kind of finds, and they become almost like cult, like just in the same as what an FM Wonder Kid or a FIFA player. I remember Ahmed Musa in FIFA was untouchable about, I don't know, must be about seven seasons ago now, but it was one of these ones that made you want to, you know, smash your control pad and stuff. And I'm sure me and you both on headsets whilst playing against opposition, but in the same party, we'd be playing against an Ahmed Musa so many times. And obviously he wasn't anywhere near one of the top 100 strikers in world football, but he seemed to be one of the top strikers in flipping FIFA. But yeah, these cards all become almost like cult hero status and things. And with that, people's knowledge starts to grow. And even guys that are just, you know, playing it quite casually as opposed to kind of the in-depth nerdy stuff that we do, you know, it does kind of create change and stuff for them and a create habit. And you've got guys researching that normally wouldn't have researched. And, you know, I certainly know from the community that, like, I speak to both locally, in person quite a bit, and then obviously my online community, it's the same questions coming from guys. You know, they're like, thinking of getting this defender, what do you think of him? You know, have you heard of him? Blah, blah, blah. So I just genuinely think the bigger the player pool, the more options you've got for your own success.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I mean, to be fair, a lot of the players that aren't, you know, going to be scoring heavily, their only use is really to put them into a threshold team or potentially to be maybe your under 40 for a specialist or, you know, an under 50 for underdog or what have you. So there's benefits to the lower cards. And obviously, once you get into the middle ground, you're then probably looking at them being, you know, your threshold cards. So, and like I say, I mean, I've got a whole batch of them on my screen at the moment, just having a, you know, bringing up the players under 0.04. And I mean, there's showing up at the moment 50 cards there that are all under those prices in the lower tiers. And it's players that you might have, you know, players that you've heard of, like Juanfran, that used to be at Atletico Madrid, I think it was. And then he moved to Turkey. And now he's at Malaga and he's back playing again. And he's got a 54 for his last five. You know, you've got players like that sitting there and he's under 0.03. So you've got some really good value players there that you can go and have a look at if you do some searching and things. But the newly released cards, you're probably going to have to do a bigger bit of digging on that, I would think, just to see what their historic cards are, because they're not coming up in searches as yet, because they're not, well, the way that I do the searches, because they're not being sold. So, yeah, it's I think it's a good thing. Eventually, the market has been a bit high, I would still say, for limited cards. I think that's fair to say. I don't think the limited cards, I don't think, were intended to come out and have so many into three figures and four figures and, you know, and such like. That I don't think that was ever the intention. It was supposed to be an affordable way into the game for people. Now, the extra cards getting released will start to make it slightly more affordable for people to play, because the prices will come down on some of the lower end cards. But I still think there's more pros than cons. The only unanswered question is, there's not been any other comment about the insider trade and stuff. There's not been any other comment about that as of yet. So I can get where people's frustrations are in that. But the launches of the leagues is going to happen. All the Scottish teams have all got new cards, all got new pictures against them.
Yeah.
So it's inevitable that they're going to come out in the next couple of weeks. Now, you know, I'm sitting here holding, you know, a whole bunch of Scottish cards still, and that are going to lose the 5% bonuses. But that is what it is. You could either make the decision to sell them now and buy back in when the cards go on sale, or you grin and bear it and you get on with it. So that's where I'm at with those. But I think there is definitely more benefits than negatives on that one, Russ, in my opinion. So, I thought you were in a way to say something there.
Yeah, do you know what? The only thing I was just thinking, like you mentioned it quite rightly, and I'd actually forgotten about it, was just we're kind of seeing a scenario here again with the insider trading that I don't think it will be answered in the same way that the whole Blackpool incident wasn't properly answered. It was acknowledged. And there was the, you know, the sort of very basic communication from the boss as such.
Yeah.
But there was no real repercussion, let's be honest, for the whole Blackpool scenario. And that must be quite about 6 months ago or whatever. And don't get me wrong, time's a healer and all that kind of crap. But we're further down the line here again. We've had this incident. There's three or four people have made thousands of pounds. There's, you know, if not maybe tens of thousands of pounds. There is also Pavel, who quite fairly, after years of accepting everybody's shite,
know,
along with some cash. Fair play to Pavel. He's finally got a wee bit of maybe retribution for sort of providing the market liquidity, let's be honest. And the fact that he's obviously probably seen his gallery, maybe treble or double in value overnight. Yeah. With the amount of cards he was simply holding that had dropped into lower leagues. And that's fair play. Do you know what? There's at the end of the day, that guy, whoever he may be, sat, 2.5 years ago now and made the decision to go into the game and to buy lots of cards and to go in probably at that point. You know, he's named himself Pavel Trader. He's gone in with the thought of, I'm going to trade cards and I'm going to basically make people give me more every single time. Not just sometimes, not sometimes except less. Every single time, if you want my cards, you're going to pay more. Now, at that point, he obviously had to buy stock. And at that point, he's also probably cost himself, you know, I've never really looked because it takes so long to load up his bloody page on Surreal Data. But looking at the actual prizes he's won over the years, it's probably not as impressive as it should be given how many cards he holds.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at that and you think, okay, I honestly have absolutely no beef at all with him kind of coming out as a well and truly winner here. And I use him. I use his services every single week, probably at some point, whether it's getting rid of a prize or swapping it to something I want. But yeah, there are still these three or four users that have made a lot of cash. That does irk me a wee bit because that's not a level playing field. That's just nonsense, and we're all having to suffer for it. And there's, I think one of the things that we used to do, you'll maybe remember this, but going back to the way start of the game, and we would message each other at like 3 or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, up in the middle of the night, old man needing to pee, just had a look at the auctions, logged in. You know, it's one of those things, it's like you make the decision, do you get up, do you go to the toilet, and do you try and go back to sleep within like 3 minutes, and it's dark, and you don't put the light on, and you don't look at your phone, or do you just have a quick look at Surreal? And I always did. I just had a quick look at Surreal. The next thing, you'd spend like 20 minutes and then you would cost yourself getting back to sleep fully.
Yeah.
But you would maybe bid on an auction. And this was before all the bots and things.
Yeah.
And you would, you know, the next thing would be, ah, oh, Chris, do you know what? Won this player. He's selling for 0.06 and I won him for 0.025 last night. I'm going to stick him up for 0.05 and he sells for double. Yeah. And that excitement for me has left the platform, and that's not been there for a wee while. And I think there's a few players, obviously, maybe some of the newer guys that are in 3 or 4 months or 6 months, they've not probably experienced that, which is a shame because that gives you quite a buzz because it helps you build your gallery.
Yeah. I mean, that comes down to the bots. You know, that's entirely down to the bots. And I mean, I emailed them and I queried the bot stuff because to me, there is a part in the T's and C's which does say about using, you know, skimmers or whatever they call them, you know, the spiders and things like that to find, you know, mispriced items or cheaper items and things like that. And it is in there. But when you email them and ask them about it, they say that there's nothing, it's not against their terms and conditions, which frankly seems ludicrous. But when you look at it from the other point of view, when it comes down to the auctions, they're getting more money back from the auctions because, you know, is it, you know, see no evil, you know, hear no evil kind of thing?
You absolutely. Know, like,
you know,
let's be honest, it is.
Just ignore it and hope it goes away. But when I see fucking Jackbot or, you know, there was a player I was looking to buy the other day. I can't remember who it was now, but I was looking to buy them. Jackbot had one and he was cheaper than anybody else in the market. I went to the next one up and bought it from them because I'm not going to line the pockets of these assholes. And mm-hmm. and that's the only way you'll get around it, is just stop buying from them.
Yeah.
You know, if it costs an extra £4 to buy a player, I'd rather do that than give it to, you know, the people that are abusing the system. Now, whether they're abusing it within alleged okay parameters or whatever, but I mean, flip side, Russ, you can catch them as well, because like last weekend when Liam Boyce tore his knee, I was able to very quickly sell a Liam Boyce card. Very quickly. Because the bots are set to buy at a certain percentage. So you can, you know, get them. I think it was Bologna that maybe got them. And things like that do happen where you can catch the bots and benefit from it. But the on the whole, they're bad for the platform. Very bad for the platform, in my opinion. And it does take away that element of getting a cheap, you know, it's like on eBay, you know, when you'd get a cheap sale on eBay or a cheap purchase on eBay and you think, yes, got it at the last second. It doesn't happen anymore. No. You know, it just doesn't. So it is, you know, it is what it is if they're going to allow it to happen. But I don't like it, and I don't think very many people do. The only people that probably like it are whoever's behind the Jackbot account and Wen Twingo and things like that. They'll be the only people that are happy about it, in all honesty, in all fairness. So just having a wee look, Russ, just to get back on a positive, I suppose. There was obviously a couple of new competitions in the Limiteds. This week, we've got the Specialist Challenger competition, and we've also got the Underdog 45. So yeah, that was two new competitions. Have you had a look at entering either of those yet, or are you still in the process of building teams? Or
how do you know what? I'll be honest, downsizing my Limiteds quite considerably. It's been good fun over the summer. I realised actually that I've got quite a lot of cash tied up in Limited, just purely because of the amount of numbers of cards I've got. But I think I was been working it down. I think it was, 60 to 50, and I think I'm down just under 40 cards now. Again, like that, I've got my under 23s. Most of my cards now, right across my entire gallery, are under 23. And this is, as I say, a project that, again, the listeners, you'll have heard me speaking a few times about it. And it's simply because I find that until they're actually like in the last year of their 23s, the value retention is really high. So, yeah, I'm quite pleased with how my gallery's looking. The competitions, the new competitions, I had a look at them and I thought, I'll probably use filler cards, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to go down to, well, if I've got 40 limited cards, realistically, what's that, 6, 7, maybe 8 teams at a push? But I'm hoping to actually only play in the next few weeks 2 or 3. And yeah, I probably won't even bother, where I do have spare cards and things, I'll maybe go into the fourth competition, being the Underdog one, and after that, I'll just not even bother. The rest, I'll just go and training until the sale. So yeah, looking at downsize in those competitions, my main focus moving forward, I'm wanting to try and look up the way rather than down. And I actually feel, just being a wee bit of self-critique, that I've been maybe looking down the way, rare and limited, rather than where I should have been. Maybe focusing my attentions was maybe buying more blue cards and trying to make the step up.
That's where I'm at.
What about you? Are you looking at playing them, or?
Do you know what? To be honest, I completely missed the Specialist Challenger League was even there until somebody said, I got a DM saying, have you seen where the Underdog 45 is? I thought there was supposed to be one. And I went and found it. And when I found it, I realised at that point that there was a Specialist Challenger one as well. So to be perfectly honest, I missed the whole thing. So I was like, right, okay, let's reevaluate that again. So went back in and had a look. But at the moment, I don't have another goalkeeper to put in. I've only got enough goalkeepers for the teams that I had. So I would have to go and buy another goalkeeper for that one. And I just don't feel, that's what I want to do at the moment. And the Underdog 45, I've got some players there. But it's going to depend on, just I might have to pick up one or two just to fill it out. So that feels like I'm buying for the sake of entering something. Mm-hmm. I'll maybe wait until, closer to the deadline and see how many entries there are. And then maybe you go, right, okay, well, do you know what? There's a 1 in 10 are going to win a card here. And that might sway my decision. But otherwise, at the moment, I'm just going to be sticking with what I've been doing, which is All-Star Rare, the Underdog Rare, because I don't need to use a keeper in that, and I've got some good players now that I can actually fill that out with, rather than it just being filler. I've went and invested in players that could potentially get the 260-300 points from that. I've got, then it's Specialist Limited, Underdog Limited, the normal one, and Under 23 is an All-Star. That's where I'm sat at. I've got down, Russ, to only 23 Limiteds that aren't my Dundee cards. And I have got 18 rares, which is 14 rares that are not Dundee cards. But from those 14, I could feasibly put any of those cards in, and it'd be a usable team. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be something I'd be like, I'm going to have to put in this guy that might only get 25, 30 points or what have you. I've actually got usable players that I feel comfortable that I should, unless something really bad happens, like in 2 weeks. I think it's not 2 weeks, it'll be next weekend. I think SV Ried play Salzburg. So I'm going to bank on 0 from the keeper on that game. it's one of those that you just have to. If they score 6 or 7, your keeper's getting no point. So bank on 0 and then just have to hit the lower. But I've got players there that are good enough for that. I've got, you know, four goal Kevin Van Veen sitting up front. I've now got Nicky Clark that I've brought in, who I think will be starting at St Johnstone. I've got good midfielders. I've got Zainuddinov. McCrory's now coming on to a game. I've got good defenders. You know, yeah, Plavatic got himself sent off, but I've got a couple of those lower tier ones as well now that I could easily put in. So I feel better at where my gallery is now. I don't want to buy for the sake of buying, if that makes sense, Russ. I don't think that benefits anybody. My longer term picture is to possibly look to try and get back into a second rare goalkeeper again. And that will be a longer term project, I think. It's not going to be as easy as it would have been maybe a few weeks ago because I've been withdrawing money. But I think I will try to build towards that. I've worked out if I could hit the higher threshold about 90% of the time between now and July next year, I could pay my holiday with just my threshold payments. I wouldn't have to sell players to go and pay the holiday or that sort of thing. I could literally just pay it with my threshold payments.
That'd so be good.
That's my target now, to be perfectly honest. On a weekly, to be taking that out. This week, I had to go and buy a player because the alpha male got himself sent off, which was tremendous. But that is what it is, you know. So I think I'm positive. I'm looking forward to, you know, where it takes us in the next wee while, because that's us. Well, I've now been almost 18 months on the platform, actively playing and enjoying it. Do you know what I mean? Actually enjoying it. And things like the podcast, YouTube, Twitter, everything like that that goes with it. It's just been something that has given, you know, something to focus on, something to enjoy. That, which is why when I see so much negativity, I do try to step away from it by just muting people. It's that simple.
You know what? I think it's probably quite a good thing. We'll maybe put a few polls and stuff up over the next few days, just to obviously speak to you offline about it, but maybe just to gauge people's actual enjoyment of the game, not our pod or anything like that, but the game, just what they're enjoying about it. And, you know, are they actually enjoying, you know, are you enjoying trading? Do you trade? There'll be some guys out there that listen that haven't even traded, you know, and I know if somebody in the Discord was like, I've heard you mention like Pavel and a couple of other trading houses, and they were like, how do we do it? What do we do? And I'm just like, well, you just go and look through their gallery and spot who you want, and then obviously look who you don't want anymore and try and put together a deal that they perceive in their favour, and of higher value, you know. So, yeah, I suppose, you know, we can probably throw a few things up online. I know I'm a bit guilty. I went into the Twitter yesterday for the first time in ages and responded to a few people that, you know, I was like, Merry Christmas. No, it wasn't quite that bad, but it's like, there's quite a few things. So I managed to respond to them. Do you want to, you mentioned quite interestingly a couple of your players in relation to your Scottish players. Should we scarily move on to the topic of Scottish football?
Yeah, I think that's where we should go now, is look at the Scottish stuff from last weekend. So this is the main event of the programme, for anybody waiting to count how many times I mentioned the scoreline. But yes, 9-0, Russ. So on Saturday, Liverpool put 9 past hapless Bournemouth. And on Saturdays and Sundays when the games are on, I'm retweeting the team's lineup so everybody can see them and putting a wee bit of commentary about my players and them and what have you. And I jokingly put on it, can Celtic go one better than Liverpool? And this was pre-match. And then as the game was going on, I was going, fuck, they're really going to go one better. I didn't see the Liverpool-Bournemouth one, so I don't know how the Bournemouth players were reacting to things. But it was very, very clear that there's something seriously wrong at United, because, you know, you a couple of weeks ago said you didn't want to talk, you know, didn't want to kind of downplay professionals' efforts in games. But I will, because it's not my team. That was abysmal. Players literally looked like they had given up after half time.
Yeah.
But the attitude, the header that Starfelt scored, for example, nobody's near him. He got a free run from about 15 yards to run a header in the goal, and the keeper didn't look like he gave a fuck. The defenders certainly weren't doing their jobs. Mm-hmm. I think, was it Scott McMahon gave away for the, was it Kyogo's strike from outside the box? And he actually threw himself to his knees as he gave the ball away, because he's seen what, but the ball was still 20 yards out. So it's just like, what are you doing? Chasing after it. You know, it was things like that. It was really an unprofessional performance from United. And I can only imagine what it was like watching it, as a United fan. My missus has no knowledge of football. No knowledge of football at all. And she was watching it. And she burst out laughing at one of the goals. And I was just like, what is it? She was like, that was just ridiculously easy the way they just tore them apart. And I'm just like, you know, when non-people are laughing at football, it's kind of like, right, okay. So what was your perspective of it, Russ? I mean, obviously, I know it's going to be, that's probably a stupid question, but you're usually a kind of voice of reason mostly when it comes to your own team. But what was your gut feeling during the game?
Well, obviously, having watched United since 1986, roughly. So what's that? Nearly, 35, 36 years of genuinely watching as much of United as I could possibly digest. And I've seen some amazing teams and I've seen some abysmal teams, especially around that sort of 98 to 2001, 2002 era where we started signing random Cameroonians and, you know, Hondurans and, you know, just there was a lot more local guys getting played at that time from the academy that weren't of the standard. In truth, the wife's cousin played for United. And he was, you know, he got probably about 100 games for United. And I think he's openly said himself that he probably felt he shouldn't have got 100 games for United. But that's just the way it is. You know, it's one of those things. I looked on Sunday and my son has just started attending Tannadice. He's only 9. He's obviously loving football. He plays football. I coach his team. In the main, the kids in the sort of Broughty Ferry area, the team that I'm obviously helping train, there's about 30 kids. And hand on heart, I would say about 15 of them are United. There's maybe, I don't know, there's about 4 or 5 Dundee fans. And then there's the rest are just like Rangers, Celtic and Liverpool in the main. So my son wanted to watch the game. We put it on and by the time the 4th goal went in, he just turned around and said, Dad, I can't watch anymore. This isn't fun. And I get that. You know, he's only 9. So I continued to watch and the wife came through and she's just started getting into football a wee bit after all this time of being married to me, obviously, but she is genuinely now attending games and things. And she kind of came through and probably just pretty much in the way that your missus did. She actually just looked and raised her eyebrows and it was like, is that a real score? It's like, yes. Now, looking at it as critically as it can be, obviously the effects after it, we've seen, like you say, Liverpool demolish Bournemouth and then Celtic have demolished United. Both managers have been sacked off the back of it. There was probably nowhere to go for Jack Ross as a manager after taking a 9 and a 7. And then obviously the defeats to St Mirren and Hearts and Livingston in there as well. There was probably nowhere for him to go with it. And I know that he came and did his TV interview saying, you know, I want the time to turn it around and stuff. But I think the support were in so much. This wasn't just like, it wasn't annoyance. I wasn't pissed off. I was actually just shell-shocked. I was like, holy shit, we've just conceded 9 at home. 9.
Yeah.
You know, and it could have, honestly, it could have been 15. It honestly could have been 15 fucking nil. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, I've never, in all my history of watching football, I've never seen anything just as, like, absolutely flabbergasting as that. So I'm watching it, and I'm watching the performance of the players. I felt sorry for the subs that came on. They were introduced into a game that was well and truly gone. It was almost, what's the point? You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm not really going to include the substitutes in my assessment here, but as a United fan, for me, Ryan Edwards is a good, solid defender, but he's not a captain. And this is just my opinion, but he's not captain material. I seen an interview that he did with Rylan for the Cinch sponsorship. And he just looked so uncomfortable as, you know, a person speaking out or speaking on camera. And for me, you kind of expect sort of your captain, your club, to be like quite a really sort of influential and positive and confident, like, public speaker.
Yeah.
Because they're speaking through the whole match in the game and organising the team. And I don't know if, I genuinely don't have an idea of how Edwards stumbled into becoming our captain, to be perfectly honest with you. But for me, he's not ideal as a captain. And I think he would actually benefit from not having that sort of weight of expectancy of being the leader. I think he would go back to playing like when he first joined at the club.
Yeah.
The fullbacks at the moment, they look, you know, we've got McMahon and Smith, and I'm just going to be honest, I just think they're really out of form. And I've seen Liam Smith play really, really well, and I know I've championed him a few times as being quite a good all-round card, like from a Surrey perspective, but as an all-round player right now, he just doesn't look like a Premiership level player. And I know he does have it within him, but he's going to have to, you know, that has to be shown week in, week out at this level, especially if we're aiming for the upper echelons of getting back to European football and third and fourth place getting talked about before a ball's kicked. We've made what you would look at on paper, what we'd class as probably our best window since the window when we signed, you know, Robertson and Payton and Chifchi and all these guys that came in and did well in a short period of form for us over the course of two seasons. I looked this year and thought, this is a good window. You know, I'm looking good. Stephen Fletcher, international former international striker, still playing at English Championship level last year, still scoring goals, obviously, at that level. I'm thinking, do you know what? Coming up to Scotland, he should hit the ground running, and it should be relatively, not easy for him, but he should be scoring goals. I'm looking, thinking, Dylan Levitt, I think no one in their wildest dreams expected him to sign permanently for us and, you know, leaving Manchester United, especially when there was rumoured to be Welsh clubs interested in his signature and him obviously playing for Wales and wanting to get to the World Cup. But for me, it would have been a no-brainer to whatever team he supports, whether it's Cardiff or Swansea, if they were both interested in him. They're both bigger clubs than United, if the truth be told. So for us to get him, I was like, wow, okay. We've got Glenn Middleton, who's been one of these young players that's kind of, he's been really exciting to watch in spells, I think, is probably the fairest way. Sometimes he's a wee bit off the boil, and I know he's been sort of permanently out on loan almost, it feels like. But there is a good player in there, and he's got a hell of a lot of pace to burn. And I'm looking, thinking, just those guys alone as signings. The keepers, obviously the verdict was out, and we signed the Finnish keeper in the, I think it was the previous window. But I'm just looking and going, how could this go so terribly wrong? And I know that there's loads of stuff all over Twitter based on disharmony and stuff. And I hope it all comes out in the wash, to be honest. But as a fan, I would say that, you know, I've been at Scottish Cup finals where we've lost, and I was obviously a United fan when we went, the Hampden Hoodoo was our tag when we just couldn't win a final until 94. And I'm looking, thinking, this is the most, I was actually embarrassed in my own house, in my own company. I just was embarrassed for the team. I was expecting my phone to be constantly going, as I know that there's obviously you, and I've got some other guys that are Dundee fans. I've got some good friends that are Aberdeen fans. And I was like, oh my God, this is awful. So the aftermath, we've seen the sackings. I hope tonight there is some sort of response against Livingston in the Cup, which I'm going to dare to watch since it's on Premier Sports. I'm going to dare to watch it. But yeah, I'm guessing for you as a Dundee fan and our City rival, I'm guessing it was just absolute bliss to watch.
It was fun. But at the same token, like, I know how bad that would feel. And yeah, it's great, you know, like when you have the wee Twitter things and stuff like that, and you can post stuff up on it and what have you. But to be honest, directly, I don't think I actually said anything mean to you initially, other than what the fuck is going on? Yeah. I think it was what I sent you was, it was like maybe 2 or 3 nil. And I was like, what is going on? It doesn't look like players care. And I think that was something the Dundee man, we obviously lost to Ayr on the Friday night beforehand. And we looked like we lacked a bit of fight and things like that. And we're still playing effectively with a relegated team. We haven't changed enough. We've only brought in 4 players. So what Gary Bowyer had said was, you know, I want players that show that they care. you know, and if the fans, any, and he says it's not just this club, any club, all the fans want is to see the players that actually care, that are not just going to, you know, be like, oh, well, fuck it. You know, we've lost 9-0. Let's move on. Yeah. You know, you're actually wanting your boys that are going to be, do you know what? As much as I'm not the biggest fan of them, like a Paul McGowan, who's going to be raging when the ball gets misplaced, let alone losing a goal. You know, players that are actually like fired up. I watched the, I don't know if you've seen it yet, Russ, the All or Nothing, the Arsenal All or Nothing on Prime.
No, I've not watched it yet.
I watched it, and do you know what? Sometimes they're losing games and boys are coming in and just sitting there quietly with their head down and everything like that. Then you get like Aaron Ramsdale coming in and he's fucking launching boots and everything just because they've conceded a late goal and a 3-1 win. Yeah. You know, he's like a fuck McLean sheet, you know, defend properly, that sort of thing. Or the famous video of Jack Henry calling the guy a fucking space cadet because he's fighting. Yeah. But that's what I want in my changing room. I want guys that care and want to, you know, they're not like, you know, just, oh, well, do you know what? I'm still going to get my $4,500 if I've sat on the bench for 90 minutes, not even come on the park, and I've scored one goal in 24 games. That I don't want that in my changing room. I don't want cancers in my changing room that are going to be problematic, that are undermining people. Go online, guys. You can have a look around. You'll find what's going on at United. Do a wee bit of research. You'll find exactly what I'm talking about. But players that are undermining and you know, the manager, in a way, I feel sorry for Jack Ross. But in another way, I don't. You know, he could have come to Dundee, and I'm glad he didn't. but, you know, it's a horrible, toxic situation. And I think United are now at that point where their next appointment is critical. Because in 2015-16 season, when you last got relegated, it was the managerial appointment that cost it. You know, they sacked McNamara, or McNamara left, I think it was a sacking, and they brought in Miksi Patalainen. And nothing changed. So I set a post, I think we were talking about it, and I said, is it going to be a situation where you're looking at a Mark McGee, you know, effect, yeah, where they come in and absolutely nothing changes, in fact, it gets worse?
Yeah.
Or do you get that new manager bounce where you run in and you get two or three games?
Do you know what? I hope, you know, obviously, but just kind of move on from it so I don't slip my wrist here whilst we're recording. For me, obviously, the dream appointment for me is Duncan Ferguson, and I know that that's pretty unrealistic, probably, given now I've seen the local press have now reported that he's interested in at least having a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. If he does, and if by hook or by crook we somehow manage to get him into that Tannadice boardroom for a conversation, that would be my dream appointment. If nothing more, because he's built like a brick shit house, and I couldn't see him taking any nonsense from, or sort of like discipline-related issues from any of the players. I really do think that he would be the man, he would be the boss, and everybody I would like to think would actually also respect what he's achieved in the game and how, you know, he was Scotland's only world-class striker for a period of 10 years that just unfortunately, because of all the reasons, as we know, only had the 7 caps for Scotland. But, you know, I'm just looking at the reality of that. United getting beaten 9-0, obviously, from Celtic at home. Not a peep was then mentioned about Livingston taking 5 from Aberdeen or Ross, yeah, County getting 4 from Rangers. Yeah. Now, I know that maybe the Rangers home win was expected anyway, but those managers obviously both took like what would normally be, you could imagine the heat that would normally be on Martindale, for example, for Livy getting 5. Basically, not a peep mentioned. Yeah. So yeah. Looking down the results, Chris, obviously, you know, United taking 9 was pretty harsh. Hearts beating St Johnston 3-2 seemed to be quite a ding-dong game, but again, yeah, decisive for, was it Shankland that scored the winner?
Shankland were the winner, yeah.
Yeah, so you're looking there in the, you know, the Shankland card continuing to deliver some goods. Aberdeen, 5-0.
That was a big score, and I was listening to Open All Mics. If you're in Scotland, you'll know what that is. If you're not, basically on BBC Scotland on a Saturday afternoon, they have a reporter at every game, and they just jump in. It's like Soccer Saturday, but for the radio. And yeah, it was, you know, it was 1-0. And then I parked the car at the back door of the house, and I came in, I sat down, and I picked up the baby and was like, oh, let's have a look at the phone. And all of a sudden, it was 4. It was like 3 goals in 5 minutes. And I was like, shit, what happened there? But they did have a red card for Fitzwater. They gave away the penalty.
Yeah.
But even still, that's a hefty scoreline to take. So, yeah, I think there's going to be you know, a wee bit of pressure there. Obviously, he's had some good performances at Livingston, Martindale, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it should really, you know, when you start losing games like that, that's going to be heat. Going to Ibrox with, you know, a team where one player in the Rangers team's wage is probably more than the combined team for County. And also they went there with two players missing. So losing 4-0 there, not the end of the world, but it's still, you know, it's if you could pick up a point at the Old Firm, that's like a win for some of the lower teams. Getting that one point that you weren't expecting. Because obviously the way that the table's sitting now, I think United are bottom, but then there's two teams on three and a team on four. So it's not, it's one win and it's all different. Well, pending goal difference, it's all different. So I think there's some big games coming up this weekend. Obviously, Russ, we've got the Old Firm game on Saturday lunchtime, 12:30, Celtic Rangers. And how do you see that one going, Russ?
I think Celtic will win.
Same.
Yeah, I think, well, having seen what they've done to us, and don't get me wrong, we were really, really poor as I say, I've seen us. But I think in the form that Celtic were in Sunday past there, I think they would have given any team four the way they were playing. It was relentless. It was just attack after attack. And again, just looking at it from a Surrey perspective, all these guys, you know, the Furuhashi card, delivering the goods, Jota getting points. You know, I just think that these guys are on fire just now, and I can only see Celtic beating Rangers.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on that one. Livingston Hearts. Hearts obviously still on the trail at the top, you know, trying to catch up on the Old Firm. They've had a rest this mid. Oh, they won't have had rest. They're playing tonight as well, actually. I was going to say they'll have rest this week, but they've not. They've got a cup competition this week. So,
and they've lost Liam.
They lost Liam Boyce for the season.
Injury,
7 to 9 months. They might get him back at the tail end. They had two more injuries in the game as well. And who was that now? It was the two defenders. Atkinson, I think, went off. And, well, no, it was Rolls.
Rolls, Kyle
and,
Rose.
No, it was Atkinson. Atkinson and Rolls both went
Kyle
off.
Kyle Rose went off, yeah.
So they're, you know, two players. But then you've got Cochran should be back from a suspension, I believe.
Yeah, and, just he's got a card, obviously, so he'll be back.
And Kingsley's back as well. And there's rumour that Halkett could have potentially been back tonight. So by the time this pod drops, you might hear that, if he has made it back tonight. But probably, you know, be in contention for the weekend, I would imagine, if they think he was going to be back tonight. So that'll be interesting to see how Hearts perform there at Livingston, who'll be sore after last week, but Livingston missing one of their key central defenders. So that'll be one. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen visiting Ross County. Aberdeen, you know, strong scores going to Ross County, who, you know, lost four at the weekend. So I've got, obviously, McCrory, and I've got him in my All-Star team this week. I'm quite happy with that in that midfield. County, they'll still be missing Callaghan and Baldwin.
They're both suspended. It was two match
suspensions. So I would feel quite confident with my Aberdeen cards. One card that I'm going to be really interested in as to how much he goes for us is going to be their new striker, Majovski, when that comes into the game. That would be one I'd be keen on.
International utility as well.
Yeah, exactly. Hibs Kilmarnock, two teams that haven't exactly set the world alight. Hibs are only on 5 points and Killy are on four. Then Motherwell host United. I have Kevin Van Veen and I was going to captain him, if I'm being honest. But that could be the type of place to go where you could pull off a 1-0 win and, you know, kind of galvanise a little bit, especially if there's a new manager in or, you know, playing under, is it Liam Fox, I think?
Liam Fox is taking the team tonight.
Is he a Jack Ross appointment though? Was one of Jack Ross's team? Or was he somebody that was at the club already?
He's been at the club for a while.
Because I think he's the favourite for the job at the moment, from what the bookies I just looked at there. It's him, Ferguson, and then interestingly, Russ, the fourth favourite, and this is maybe how damning things are, Adam Ashger is 10-1. So,
I've seen that, yeah.
St Johnston and St Mirren in the Battle of the Saints is the other one, and I think it'll be interesting to see. I could foresee Nicky Clark going straight into the starting lineup. I know we discussed that offline. If he's not in the, he might be on the bench tonight. And then I think, no, St Johnston are out the cup, aren't they?
Yeah, they got.
I could potentially see him coming in at the weekend and starting, but I'll debate that in my own head, whether I put him into the underdog team or not. But I could see him starting this weekend. So there's some big fixtures there, guys. If you missed it, I put a strength of schedule up for the month of September, right up to the 1st of October. And that's sitting there on my Twitter page, so you'll be able to have a look and see who has the hard fixtures and who has the easy ones. Interestingly enough for us, it's Rangers that have got the hardest fixtures for the next 4 weeks. They play the first, third and fourth place teams all away from home this month. So there's some big fixtures there for Rangers. So that's the kind of the fixtures in the leagues. Transfer news and injuries. Obviously, we just touched on Liam Boyce there, Russ. He's out for the foreseeable. Cruciate injury. And looking at the transfer news, obviously there's been a couple of pieces today, obviously with it being deadline day, but have you got anything from the last podcast onwards?
Yeah, we actually just missed it, actually, in all truth. Christopher Julien obviously leaving Celtic and joining Montpellier. Johnny Kenny, he's got a card in the game, young striker, he's joined Queen's Park from Celtic on loan, so that's a non-scoring league for now. Same with Charlie Gilmore, left St Johnston. This is mental. Charlie Gilmore was training with Arsenal, you know, 3-4 seasons ago in their under-23s team and thought of as being probably a better player than Billy Gilmore. Went to Norwich and obviously then St Johnston and now he's at Cove. I don't know what's going on there. This guy's had, somebody's given him a left boot on a right foot or something. Obviously the big one, Nicky Clark. So Nicky obviously plays Surrey. He's got a team in Surrey and all-round sort of gentleman and good guy. He's obviously left my beloved United. But joining St Johnston, I'm hoping and thinking about putting the super rare that I hold. I think I might put that out in this week in the hope that you never know, he could hit the ground running. So good luck to Nicky anyway, if he's out. In fact, he probably will listen. He's quite an avid sort of listener of pods.
A fan of the pod.
Good lad, yeah. Mickey. Obviously, Doidge, as you mentioned, joining Killy on loan, so he's got a card in the game.
Yep.
You would think that he would get quite a lot of game time there. Obviously, they've got Lafferty and Ollie Shaw up front, but I think that Doidge there would definitely get some pretty decent game time, and that guy can score goals.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I'm kind of surprised because he has been playing in the Hibs team. But you know, it is what it is. You know, he's gone to another Premier League team and one that's, you know, Hibs aren't necessarily in a relegation battle as yet, but they're in the bottom four or five teams. So lending a player to a fellow, you know, bottom six side, a wee bit odd, but you know, that's what they've done.
I've got three more. Mikey Devlin, who has a card in the game. He has been a free agent for quite some time. He obviously had that bad injury. He's joined Scott Brown's Fleetwood Revolution. Mm-hmm. So that's non-scoring card now. Hazovanovic joined Celtic. So he was in the game at Rubin Kazan. So he's now joined Celtic. And the final one I've got that I think you've maybe got him in your gallery, Oristis Kio Mortzoglu, that was at Heracles, that has now joined Hearts. Yes. Now I had him last year and used him quite a bit. I don't know how much usage you've had out of him, but I certainly used him quite a bit last year in Global. And he was one of these cards that one week he would maybe get you 30 or 40 points, but he would rock up with decisives every now and then. So I would think that he would probably get more decisives at Hearts.
Yeah. And I you know what? I'm actually really pleased because I seen the news and Pavel Trader had one in his gallery and I went and straight offered him ETH for it. And he accepted it, and it was only about £40, £42, I think, he paid for him. So, quite pleased with that one. And yeah, we'll see how he gets on because obviously they're going to be needing a little bit of, you know, they need depth for their European campaign. And, you know, to compete in the league and Europe, there is going to be a bit of rotation. That's maybe the only risk around it. You know, is he going to be the league player? Is he going to be the European player? Because they've got they've got a few midfielders there, eh? But I think he'll probably get a fair few games. I've not put him into the lineups this weekend as of yet. I'll see what happens, you know, in Hearts game tonight if he's anywhere near the team and maybe make a decision, you know, heading towards the weekend. But I'm quite comfortable where I'm at with that one. But there's been a fair few moves there. So, and obviously this is deadline day and we're recording this just the back of five. So there's several hours left for other transfers and also free transfers can happen right the way through, so keep your eyes peeled on our pages over the next couple of days and we'll probably have more news on those. But yeah, that's there's quite a lot actually happening for a change this week, Russ, because for the last couple of weeks we've went, yeah, there's not been any moves. So,
well, I know that, but obviously I'm looking here and I'm appreciating the time that once again our listeners have had to listen to us. So I think maybe next week I'll do the sort of the breakdown on the stacks just with the teams, because it would take maybe 5-7 minutes, something like that. So I'll do the breakdown on the stacks next week for the MLS that I think. Obviously, the prices are going down. That's why I'm mentioning it, because it'll be nice to pick them up. The final thing that I have is about a month ago, I promised a couple of winners. Completely forgot all about it. So I just did a random check. I have no idea who either of these two people are. However, if I think it's Simons or Simmons 1988 that left a review on Apple Podcasts, wants to hit my DMs. I couldn't remember which United, you maybe not want the prize, but hey, you couldn't remember which United player actually said from the limited. So I'm just going to send you them both. So Simons 1988, if you get in contact with me, you have a limited Ross Graham, who fingers crossed should pick up in scores and things, and a limited fellow under 23 in Archie Meekison heading your way. And if I think that it'll be FI Loma, as in Football Index Loma, I'm guessing is maybe where the names come from. But if Fee Loma or FI Loma wants to get in contact as well, again, hit me in the DMs. We'll just verify, obviously, that it was you that left the review. And you have a rare Japanese J-League Tatsuta card that's actually been in quite good form. He's actually increasing in value coming your way. So that's everything from me, Chris.
Yeah, just on that note, I tagged one of our loyal listeners, Russ, in it, saying, was this you? And he said, no, I wish it was. I haven't won any of these competitions. I'm actually 1989. He also left a review on there. So I thought it was his. So because of that, I sent him my limited Bruce Anderson, just to say, sorry for teasing you with the potential win, but here you go. I sent that over last night just as a thank you, you know, because we were sitting there and I was like, right, do you know what? Happy days. I feel bad for teasing the boy about potentially winning a prize. So, yeah, I sent that over then. So,
well, the final bit of good news I've got before I certainly sign off for the evening to make some food is the good news for you is that the phone call is not coming in this week. But the phone call may come in next week when I've got a little bit more energy for what would probably be classed as a shit impersonation. However, I will do it nonetheless. And yeah, that's us for this week then.
In terms of shit impersonations, before we go, Russ, Mavis Riley?
I'll leave it to you, mate.
No, come on, Russ, come on, do it.
The fans don't really know.
Yes, he doesn't really know very much about football, as we know from Polsky. And
Wow,
indeed. Yep.
Until next week.
We will speak to you all again next week, guys. Take care, and we will speak to you all again soon.